Howdy. I've never said that in my life, but it just felt like I needed to. Yeah, thank you so much for letting me be with you this morning. Even though I'm not a bishop, I'm pretty much a pawn, but I am grateful to be here and delighted to be a part of this special service. I remember it's about 1,200 14-year-old students and teenagers all in this big room, and I was supposed to speak to them, and I suppose you might think, gosh, that would be kind of weird because a guy your age, and perhaps it's not funny, Pastor, but and perhaps you're thinking the same thing this morning, that you know this is supposed to be a children's deal, and here's this guy who has not been a child in centuries. And I remember thinking to myself precisely the same thing as I was standing there, all these people in the room. How do I help them to understand that together we are God's church? We are his family. And what I did was I said, I want to have about five of the biggest, toughest, meanest women in this room. No, I said, I want five of the biggest, toughest, meanest guys in this room to come up here right now. And these guys come up, and they're kind of big for their age, and I got them down on all fours, five of them right next to each other. And then I brought up some other people, four more, and then three more, and then two more after that, and we began to build together a human pyramid. How many of you have ever built a human pyramid before? You know what I'm talking about? Where you kind of stack people on top of each other, first five, then four, and I found this one little girl, I mean, just a little wisp of a thing, and she was the one on the very top, and I actually had them pose there for a minute. All of us watched in wonder and exaltation, and then they collapsed, and in the remaining months, I've been dealing with lawsuits, but it was an amazing way for us to understand something about who we are together, because what happened in those moments was I got people from different parts of the room. People from, there were different ethnic backgrounds. There were different neighborhoods. They came from different churches. But what they did together, none of them alone could have accomplished. Together, they built this thing that none of them alone could build. And that, men and women, is what it means to be the church. Is that all of us, we have different backgrounds, we're different ages, different ethnicities, different stories, and yet God kind of brings us together in this place called the church so that we can build something together that none of us alone can build. And we are indeed a family. It's not easy. If you could have been up there where these people were building the pyramid, you would have heard that it wasn't easy, because you would have heard people all of a sudden sharing very, very real concerns. My back, my neck. You would have heard people actually caring deeply about other people. For example, the young people on top of the pyramid, even though they didn't know the people on the bottom of the pyramid, they were saying things like, are you okay? Are you hurting? Because they seemed to understand if the people on the bottom of the pyramid are hurting, soon we will all be hurting. And so they actually cared for one another. They actually really, it mattered to them, the well-being of one another. This is what it means to be the church. The Apostle Paul talks to us about this kind of building, what it means to build this thing together that none of us alone can build. He talks to us about this in his letter to the church at Ephesus. I want to read to you just a few short verses this morning from Ephesians chapter 4. If you have a Bible, you'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm just going to begin reading in verse 1. Paul writes, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. What does it mean to build this kind of family? How do we do it? The Apostle Paul, one of the reasons I love his work, his writing, is that he doesn't try to gloss it over. He doesn't give us these kind of family pictures that are airbrushed and photoshopped. He actually gives us the outtakes. He actually shows us the family of God in its time of beauty, but we also see it in its time of ugliness. One of my favorite websites is a website called Awkward Family Photos. Have any of you ever seen this website, Awkward Family Photos? These are the pictures that your family should never have taken. There are, for example, pictures of an entire family, seven people all dressed in paisley. I remember the first time I saw the picture, I had a seizure. Then there are the ones where everybody is wearing suspenders. There's one of my favorites where everyone, I don't know really what the situation was, but they were all sitting on a tombstone, smiling as if to say, this is our grandmother's grave. And you're not really sure what the celebration is about. There's one where everybody, about five or six different family members, are seated in the living room, and they're all holding a dustbuster. As if someone has said, you know, I don't think we have a picture of all of us with our dustbusters. Let's do that. And then they have pictures like that. They have pictures, for example, one of my favorites is where this mother, it's a beautiful, touching scene. The mother is posing with her little child and a boa constrictor. A boa constrictor. Nothing says motherhood like that. And all these different pictures, awkward family photos, what the Apostle Paul gives us in this letter to the church at Ephesus is what might be described as an awkward family photo. He's not afraid to recognize that to build this thing called the church is not going to be easy. To build this thing together that none of us alone can build will require some pain or require some effort. And so as you read through the text, you begin to realize that Paul is sort of checking off for some of the different muscles we're going to need to build this thing that we call the church, to be the family God has called us to be. Beautiful sometimes, and sometimes quite awkward. He actually mentions about three or four muscles there. He says, with all humility, verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. I don't know what you think about when you think about humility, when you think about gentleness. Some of the King James Version of the text, the translation reads, with all meekness. And meekness is one of those words I don't know about here in Ireland, but it's a word we don't really use much in the state anymore. Meekness is one of those words that's kind of old hand. You don't really use it. It's kind of gone out of fashion. Partially, I think, because meekness, for a lot of people, rhymes with weakness or geekness. It's like meekness is the last thing you want. When people are talking about you, you might want them to say, he's handsome, he's hot, he's buff. You don't want to say, oh, my gosh, he is like so meek. You know, because it just sounds like something that's kind of wishy-washy, kind of mushy. What's interesting is the actual word that Paul uses here for meekness is a word that was also used to describe wild animals. It was a Greek word that was used to describe wild animals that had all the passion and all the power and the strength to react and to cause violence. But all of that muscle and all that strength had been brought under discipline, under control, so that instead that animal could become useful. Every one of us in this room this morning, we know what it's like to live in families, and we know what it's like sometimes to feel like, I really love these people, and sometimes what it feels like to say, you know what, these people make me want to commit homicide. And it's not always easy. It requires some pain. It requires some discipline. Even though we have the capacity, Paul says, any of us to lose our temper, to yell, to get frustrated, to talk about people in the congregation, well, you wouldn't believe what she did, or he's not doing that, or why won't they do this, or they don't agree with me. What was amazing is Paul said, by the power of Christ, we're able to take all of that passion and submit it to him so that together we can do something useful. We can build this thing together that none of us alone can build. Paul says, with all humility and gentleness. And then he uses the word patience. It was a grocery store. It was about a year ago. I walked in, and as I walked in, I saw this guy who was pushing a grocery cart. And in the grocery cart, there was this little boy with his legs kind of dangling in that little part that the, do you have carts like that where they have little leg places? Yeah. And he's dangling his feet through that little through those little leg holes there. And the little boy is probably about a year old. And he was kind of whining. And it wasn't a loud whine, but kind of a low-grade whine, just enough to kind of make you put your teeth on edge. And the dad was absolutely brilliant. He was pushing the cart, and as he's pushing the cart, just under his breath, he's going, "Come on, Albert. We'll be out in a minute, Albert. Don't blow your cool, Albert. It's okay, Albert." And there was this little old lady standing there right near produce as he walked in, and she sees them enter the store. And she, I guess, decides this will be free entertainment while I shop. And so she's a little bit nosy. She decides to follow them through the store. Well, we happen to be going the same way. And so as we were walking through the store, you couldn't help but notice it. It was like every time we got to a new aisle, this little kid, almost on cue, would get a little bit louder, right? Just a little bit every time, just a little bit of an upgrade. And the dad was awesome. The dad picked up his pace ever so slightly, just, "Come on, Albert, be out in a minute, Albert. Don't blow your cool, Albert. It's okay, Albert. Keep calm, Albert." The lady was enjoying it thoroughly, as were we. And we got to about the third aisle, canned goods, and now the little boy has kind of upgraded a little bit. Now we're into full-blown crying. The dad has picked up his pace now, and the woman is still following, and it's just still the same kind of amazing story unfolding. "Come on, Albert. We'll be out in a minute, Albert. Don't blow your cool, Albert." Finally, we get over to about aisle six, and this is cereals. And by this time, the little kid is screaming, just screaming. I thought his leg was caught in the cart. I didn't know. But the dad by now is literally just careening through the store. The lady could hardly keep up. In fact, we had to pass her twice. But they were just zooming through the store. And now the dad's like, "Come on, Albert. Be out in a minute, Albert. Don't blur. Cool, Albert. Keep it in, Albert." Finally, we get over to the cash register. And this kid is screaming just loud. They've turned off the music. Just now they're playing Sousa marches. "Get them out of the store." And the lady is just watching, and the dad is like, just, "Come on, Albert, be out in a minute, Albert. Keep it in, Albert." Well, the lady could not stay uninvolved. She had to get engaged in this thing. And so she reaches over and pats this little boy on the head. My, Albert. "So sorry you're not feeling very well today at all, Albert. Bless your heart." Then she looked at the dad and she said, "I am so sorry. The little Albert is feeling so poorly. But you, sir, you have remarkable patience. I don't know how you do it." And the man just looked at her and said, "Lady, you don't understand. I'm Albert." And I think a lot of us know what it's like to live in a family where there's an Albert. Maybe it's somebody that's a mom or a dad. Maybe it's somebody who's a little boy or a little girl. Maybe it's somebody to whom you are married. All of us know what it's like to live in an Albert. And this family that is the church is filled with Alberts. Amen? Amen. But you know what Paul says? Paul says that we live in this family of Alberts with patience. With patience. That yes, we have the capacity. Yes, we have the passion. Yes, we have the desire sometimes to want to just kind of end the whole deal, just stop the whole enterprise, just finish the whole project. Paul says, no, with humility and gentleness and patience, we build this thing together that none of us alone can build. You see, one of the things that's tricky about this family called the church is that our Alberts are all different. In other words, there are people in this room who are under the age of 10 years old. There are people in this room who are between the ages of 10 and 20. Others who are 20 to 30 to 40. We have parents, we have grandparents, we have uncles, we have people who are not married. We have people who are trying to do a family by themselves, a single parent. We have young people who are kind of living here going, "Oh my gosh, my mom, my dad." And what this requires for us to build this thing together that none of us alone can build, it requires patience. Requires patience, because you got all these different generations. Even this morning, when some of these guys are up here jumping around and spinning, some of you are going, I'm not going to do that. Number one, they'd have to call an ambulance. Number two, I don't like that kind of stuff. That's cool. That's all right. Because in a congregation, a family of Alberts, we recognize everything's not going to suit everybody. You know, the generational deal. Mark Twain said, when your child becomes about 13 years old, you should actually take them and put them in a barrel and feed them through a tube for about the next maybe 5 or 6 years till they get to be maybe 18, 19, and then plug up the tube. And it's funny, I speak a lot to teenagers, and as you might imagine, their perspective on those of you who are adults, those of us who are adults, those Alberts, they kind of have a different take on the whole thing. For a lot of teenagers, when they think about people like us, some of us who are adults, it's like the little kids who are walking out of church one Sunday morning, and I guess they've been talking about demons and Satan and stuff like that. And this little kid said to his buddy, he said, "Do you believe all that stuff they said in there about Satan?" And his little friend said, no, it's like Santa Claus. It's our dads." Now, I don't know exactly how you see it, but I know in this room with this many generations, this many people from this many places, all trying to build something together that none of us alone can build, it will require humility and gentleness and patience. Paul goes on to say, though, with all lowliness, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. That's a phrase, isn't it, that suggests there's going to be a certain amount of difficulty, a certain amount of pressure to build this thing together that none of us alone can build. We recognize there's going to require bearing with one another. Sometimes we will be, for one another, a pain in the neck. I can recall, it was years ago now, my daughters were little girls. In the middle of the night, one night, I heard one of the children crying. And because I'm a nurturing, caring father, you know, I quickly turned to my wife and said, "Your children need you." And of course, being a nurturing mom, she pretended she was comatose. She could not be awakened. She's laying there as if she's been dead for days. And so, I gotta go do this. And so I get up. Now, it was a very, very cold February night where we live. And so the floor was especially cold. And I don't know about you, but I don't typically sleep with my boots on. And so I am basically walking gingerly out of our bedroom into the bedroom where the girls are sleeping. And I don't know what it was, but I stepped in something. I stepped on something as I was walking across. I think it was some kind of transformer thing, because the next morning the word transformer was written backward on the bottom of my foot. But all I know is I stepped on this thing, and there was a stab of pain in my left leg. Just shot up into my foot, into my left leg. And I'm like, ah, ah, ah. I mean, I'm just hopping around on one leg. I finally get over to where my daughter was sleeping, and she's no longer crying. And those of you who are parents know how frustrating that is. Like, if we're going to get out of bed to take care of them, at least they can be bleeding. And she's not even crying anymore. She's asleep. And so I'm going, ah. And so I limp back to bed. But here was the amazing part about it. This is what was stunning. When I laid down in bed, as I'm laying there, my left foot is throbbing with pain. And you know what happened? My right foot went like this. "Are you okay?" My right foot. I didn't hurt my right foot. That part of my body was doing fine. Like, I wasn't walking across the floor on my hands so that neither foot would be injured. It was my left foot, but my right foot was bearing with my left foot. Hey, we know you're hurting. We want to hurt. In fact, you know what was beautiful? At one point, my right hand went, "Yeah, dude, that hurts." And so my body was feeling with my body. You know the word compassion, you know what it means? It comes from two words. It means to feel with, to bear with. Paul tells us here, you know what, for us to build together something none of us alone can build, it's going to require of us humility. It's going to require of us gentleness. It's going to require of us patience. because there are Alberts in this family, and it's going to require us to bear with one another. Hurt when we hurt together, rejoice when we rejoice together. Now, some of you may be sitting here this morning, well, that's me. Like, I'm perfect at that. I'm really good at that. I have nailed this. I am totally ready to build this family we call the church. Humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, not a problem. And I totally understand that. I think most of us are, when everything is going great. Most of us don't have too much trouble being gentle and humble and patient and forbearing when everything's going great. The problem is, what about when somebody rubs you the wrong way? Somebody makes a remark. Somebody wants to do something you don't want to do, or doesn't do something you do want to do, or somebody's different. Somebody just has a way of thinking about stuff that just kind of makes you wish they weren't a member of your family. I want to finish with a little bit of an experiment this morning. It's very simple. And to do this experiment, I actually need someone to help me, and I'm going to ask that it be you. Oh, my gosh. It won't be hard, I promise. Come on up here. It's very simple. Oh, my word. Let's give a round of applause. This is scary. This is so scary. Hi there. Tell me your name.
Charlotte.
Charlotte? Charlotte, you're not going to believe this. I was born in Charlotte, North Carolina. Fantastic. Your middle name's not North Carolina. Okay. Well, anyway, Charlotte, this is what I want to do. Sometimes when I speak, I have a cup of water. Let me just say, I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you, okay? Like, oh, my gosh, no way. Okay, so I want you to take this cup of water. I hold it sometimes when I'm speaking, and so I'm going to ask you to hold it. Now, be very careful, Charlotte, because I could see your hand shaking a little bit. I don't want you to spill my water. I mean, when I'm speaking sometimes, that water comes in very handy because, you know, you get a dry, a parched throat. You ever had that, Charlotte, when you're a baby? So you're going to hold my water. Let's step out here just a little bit so these good people over here can see around my broad frame. Okay, so you're holding my water. And let's say that as I am speaking, as I'm gesturing, you know how you've already seen this. Sometimes they get a little carried away. And as I get carried away, I hit your hand like that, and my water spills. Thank you very much. Now, my water spills. Now, Charlotte, don't spill anymore, please. Be careful. Okay, she's holding it now with both hands to be very, very cautious. Now, if I say to you, Charlotte, why did water come out of that cup? Why did water come out of that cup? What would you say?
You knocked it.
Oh, see, it's never our fault, is it, Charlotte? Yeah, you see, that's always the first result. Well, they would just do this, or they just, it's never me. It's never, no, it's, you knocked it. No, what, you know what, Charlotte? Even though I appreciate your effort, that's not the correct answer, okay? Why did water come out of that cup?
I was standing too close to you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I appreciate that. Now you're willing to own some of the blame. Thank you, Charlotte. Has this been helpful for you? Yeah. Okay. She said, because I've been standing too close to you. But that's not right either. That's not the reason why water came out of that cup. Let me just say, I was doing this the other day with this girl. And she goes, well, I said, don't blame it on the well. Now, why did water come out of that cup? I'll give you one. This is tough. I know it's hard. So one more shot at it. Why do you think water came? And I appreciate that you're really trying. I really do. She's thinking, I will never come to church again. Want me to tell you?
Because it's fluid.
Oh. Yeah. No, it's just awesome that you're in trying, because you, careful. Because right now, like, my children are probably back in the States, and they know how much I need water when I speak. They're probably praying, Jesus, help Daddy have enough water. But you don't care. And so I'm gonna tell you why water came out of the cup. You know why water came out of the cup? Is because water is what was in the cup. Thank you very much. You can have a seat. Yeah. Let's thank Charlotte again. Charlotte, that was spectacular. No, you know what? That's an important idea, though, isn't it? When you get bumped next time, see what spills out of you. Because if Jesus is not spilling out of us, maybe it's because we are not filled with Jesus. You see, anybody can be patient when we don't have to be patient. Anybody can be kind and caring and humble when nobody's rubbing us the wrong way. All of us can be really, really sweet until somebody bumps us. Somebody rubs us the wrong way in this family, and then all of a sudden, we want to just walk away and let the whole thing cave in. The Apostle Paul says, no, we're called to build something together that none of us alone can build. And he finishes this verse by saying this: there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You know how we keep this family as one? We focus on that one Lord, one God, one Father of us all. Humility, kindness, patience, bearing with one another in love. Let's pray together. Lord, you have called us to something amazing. It is a stunning design. It's in some ways, it seems to make no sense. You call people at different ages, different backgrounds, different stories, different economic realities, different work lives, different desires. And somehow you've called us to come together and to build this thing called the church. You've declared us your family, that we have one Father. It's not easy. And I want to pray this morning for my brothers and sisters here in this congregation that you will help us, Lord, to know, to be filled with Jesus, so that when we are bumped up against, when we get knocked, when we get rubbed the wrong way, it will be Jesus that spills out. And then people in this village, people in this town, people in this area, they will think of that church there, Carmony Presbyterian, and they'll go, you know what? Those people are building something that nobody alone can build. And that something will be the church of Jesus, to his glorious name. Help us, Lord, to build this thing as a family. We pray it in that strong name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Thank you.